about love. Every little thing that a girl dreams of, someone wise enough to understand. If you want this woman's heart, take it like a man. Take it like a man. Well, honey, if you want my heart, you gotta take it like a man.
Attention, but yeah, that's all that she's getting. Her song is on and she's spinning around. Yeah, she got me drunk like Corona, heart racing like it's Daytona. Ooh, I'm in heaven, I swear, right now. And those eyes can hypnotize, was designed to blow my mind. Look what God gave her, how perfect he made her. She walks in the room, it's like he answered my. She's got haters, but it ain't her fault. No, look what God gave her. Ooh. It's like I heard angels singing, like she came down from the ceiling.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Concerns growing about President Biden's ability to move forward with his campaign following his disappointing debate. The first Democratic lawmaker now calling for him to withdraw from the race. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze has more.
Democratic Congressman Lloyd Doggett says President Biden's first commitment has always been to our country, not himself. He says, I am hopeful he will make the painful and difficult decision to withdraw. I respectfully call on him to do so. So a lot of those concerns that we had heard privately from Democrats in the wake of the debate are now being voiced more publicly.
Rudy Giuliani disbarred by the state of New York for false legal claims of fraud in the 2020 presidential election and claiming Donald Trump did not lose, he vows to appeal. United Nations human rights experts are the latest to call for the release of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich from a Russian prison due to what the experts called a striking lack of any factual or legal evidence to support charges of spying. This is ABC News. Firms, passengers were thrown. New details about how Jeffrey Epstein avoided serious jail time for years. A Florida judge has released transcripts from a 2006 grand jury report showing prosecutors knew that Epstein sexually assaulted underage girls 2 years before he was offered a plea deal. More from ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Prosecutors almost subject the witnesses to interrogation. It's almost like victim shaming. They talk about the women as prostitutes. They talk about the women's drug habits. These are 15 and 16-year-old girls who were allegedly abused by Jeffrey Epstein, and yet prosecutors treated them, these documents show, as the criminals.
Epstein took his own life in jail in 2019. A potential breakthrough for amputees, a bionic leg controlled by the brain. Researchers at MIT say the prosthetic allows amputees to walk more naturally and move 40% faster. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Life hack number 7. Get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher-end auto-pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, my son's teacher emailed his back-to-school list. He needs crayons and a comp book for every subject.
Okay, no problem. With Staples Hot Deals, you'll find super low prices on hundreds of items for back-to-school.
Oh, now they're saying he needs folders and glue.
You got it.
And markers?
Of course.
Oh, geez.
Can we get a cart? Please.
Save big on back to school with Staples Hot Deals. Right now, 24-pack Crayola crayons and comp books are only 50 cents each at Staples. Ends 8/24, in-store only, limit 30.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. A Milwaukee man died outside of a downtown hotel Sunday. Witnesses say 43-year-old Devontae Mitchell locked himself in a bathroom at the Hyatt Regency Milwaukee with a woman inside. Police say Mitchell fought with security guards who escorted him out of the hotel and detained him until officers arrived. Though police attempted life-saving measures on Mitchell, he died at the scene. An autopsy conducted Monday by the Milwaukee County Medical Examiner's Office found the preliminary manner of his death was homicide, but no charges have yet been filed in connection with Mitchell's death. A man accused in a fatal pedestrian crash in Sheboygan pleads no contest. Nathan Heitzman was charged in April of 2023 after a criminal complaint said his pickup truck ran a stop sign and collided with a minivan which left the road and ran into pedestrians. One of them, 4-year-old Cordelia Keither, died from her injuries. Heitzman, who police said didn't have a valid driver's license, pleaded no contest Monday to a charge of homicide by vehicle use controlled substance. An effort to save lives lost to speeding in Milwaukee.
Speeding, we can live without it. The new message in a city which saw 80 traffic deaths last year, including the brother of Mariah Johnson.
My brother was killed in a car crash on 60th and Hampton, where a car was driving 120 miles an hour down the street.
Things have not improved. Milwaukee Police Captain Bradley Schley.
Last year, this time, we were at 38. We're at that same number this year today. 38 lives lost. Unacceptable.
Well, the campaign encourages people to slow down, drive the speed limit, report speeding and reckless driving, and share stories of how that's impacted them and their families. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Summer's coming in hot, so it's time to cook up some fun at Mall of America because it's always a cool 72 and sunny here. Plus, all the summer best in one place. Join SpongeBob SquarePants 25th anniversary celebration. Get slimed at Nickelodeon Universe. Hit new heights on the Fly with Opera ride and Boots Banana Swing. It's shopping Nirvana, Crayola Experience Creativity, Hangout Heaven. Go all in on summer, all at Mall of America. MallofAmerica.com/summer.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Dark, damp, and dreary today, with on and off scattered showers and thunderstorms possibly rolling through early this evening. With the potential to put down a decent amount of rainfall, localized flooding is a concern. Otherwise today, highs in the mid-70s. Call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 64.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Financial Outlook is out this morning. We'll get details of what it might mean for the economy's performance going forward. And the Supreme Court's decisions announced at the end of the latest session have many wondering, how will the legislative process change? We'll dig into that question.
Live! Dude! Seriously, a spider just like walked right across my computer monitor. Via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue. Then we chat with Ethan Lane from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, did you get the little fella out of there safe?
Well, he's really small. He looks like a wolf spider to me, just a little house spider. You're not, okay. He's not going to bother anybody. We'll leave him alone.
Great.
We'll...
Oh, okay.
He might all be right, fixing yeah. something in my computer, too. I don't know. I'll take it.
No, those are tiny little robots that they send to do that.
Robot spiders. Hello.
Robot spiders. Okay,
so
I get it.
It's either the Geek Squad looking out for me or the Chinese are surveilling me this morning. Either way, I'm good.
I'm going.
You know,
I'm going with the Chinese.
Probably.
I'm going with the Chinese.
It seems more likely.
Yeah. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. That is Davis Michelson.
Good morning. Yes, sir.
Rainy day, dude. Another rainy day. And as things stand right now, the rains go all the way back into western Nebraska, western Kansas, up through Iowa, into Wisconsin, northern Illinois, Michigan. It's a soggy son of a gun out there for a lot of people. Yeah. And we could use some drier conditions, but it sounds like there's rain in the forecast for later this week again. So it's not going to dry out anytime soon.
Well, you and I have flipped because it's sunny and getting hot pretty quickly here in the city of Kansas. But yesterday, for about the first two-thirds of the day, right up to the afternoon show, I guess, just a nice, steady rain. We really needed it. Not a lot of wind that I heard of anyway. Just a real nice rain. And now we got some sunshine today.
Yeah, well, we've got to wait a little bit longer before we get that sunshine coming back in our direction up here.
Don't
All right, Jim Mintert's coming up in the next segment. Ethan Lane at the bottom of the hour. The conversation with Ethan about the Supreme Court decisions and the final rule on Packers and Stockyards should be very interesting. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, man, let's get to the news. What do you got?
You bet. I'll start with the National Weather Service short-term weather outlook, where severe thunderstorms are expected mainly from Kansas into northern Missouri and Iowa this afternoon and evening. Damaging winds, a few tornadoes, and large hail are the expected hazards. Excessive rainfall may bring areas of flooding to parts of the Midwest today. Hot to dangerously hot conditions will impact much of California and from the central plains to the northern Gulf Coast today.
You know, it's just, here we are, it's like 65 degrees in northeast Iowa today.
Ooh.
And that heat that is oppressive is you know, latching on to other areas of the country. It's, but don't forget that 6 to 10 day that we looked at yesterday afternoon has the heat coming back in. Actually, it's the 8 to 14 day has the heat coming back in to the Midwest. So by the end of the month or the middle of the month. So things are going to be changing and changing considerably.
Well, private exporters reported sales of 100,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to traditional buyer Colombia during the 23-24 marketing year. Hello, Colombia. Good morning.
It wasn't Mexico buying corn. It's such an incredible thing. Yeah, Colombia's a traditional buyer, but the traditional buyers outside of Mexico have been absent from the market for a while, and here they are with a big buy overnight. That's a good sign.
I've got Crop Progress Report highlights this. Crop progress and condition update as of June 30. Corn was 67% good to excellent. That's down 2 percentage points from last week, 11% silking, 6% average. And I brought out the poor to very poor, 9% poor to very poor on the corn there, Chip.
Up 3 points. Points from last week. 3 points in this index is a big move. So starting to recognize some of the issues in Minnesota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa.
Soybeans were also called 67% good to excellent, steady with the prior week, 95% emerged, 20% blooming, 3% setting pods, 8% poor to very poor on your soybean crop. Chip, thoughts on the beaners?
Yeah, and it's 8% is unchanged on the poor to very poor on soybeans. I got a feeling that is going to be pushing higher after these really, really soggy rains that we've been getting.
Spring wheat called 72% good to excellent, up a percentage point from last week, 38% headed, just 4% poor to very poor there. The spring wheat apparently looks pretty good.
Right. Oh, it does. It's, yeah.
Cotton, 50% good to excellent, down 6 percentage points on the week, 97% planted, 43% squaring, 11% setting bolls, and winter wheat, 51% good to excellent, that's down 1 point from last week, 54% harvested compares to 39% on average.
Yeah, the condition ratings on cotton are going down and going down in a hurry, so we got to keep track of that market for sure.
Well, Chip, crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier is using USDA's corn planted acreage figure, but he cut harvested acreage 910,000 acres to 82.5 million acres and maintained his yield estimate at 179 bushels per acre. For soybeans, Cordonier is using USDA's planted acreage figure, but he cut harvest soybean acreage 750,000 acres to 84.5 million acres and kept his yield estimate at 52 bushels per acre on soybeans.
Yeah, the acreage issue is going to be an issue until we get some resurvey work done is the bottom line there.
Yep. Well, Senator Debbie Stabenow, chair of the Senate Ag Committee, released a statement on the payment error rate for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, that's SNAP, calling the national error rate unacceptable. She says, quote, "It's critical that the program is accurate to protect program integrity and to ensure people receive the assistance they need to put food on the table. It'd be great to have this be accurate, Chip.
Let's get it right. Let's get rid of some of the fraud and see how much money it saves.
Yep. Well, Shell says it will pause construction work at one of Europe's largest biofuels plants due to weak market conditions, the latest low-carbon project to suffer a setback. The project is now expected to go online toward the end of the decade instead of 2025. Rival BP last week said it's pausing two biofuels projects in Germany and the United States. Moving in the wrong direction here, Chip.
The pushback is increasing on some of the green strategies out there, and BP sees it.
You got time for one more real quick? USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service reminds everyone to take the proper precautions during food prep for July 4th celebrations. Thaw the meat or poultry first, marinate your protein in the refrigerator, not on the counter, and keep raw meat and poultry separated. Use different cutting boards and utensils for raw meats and poultry. Safety first on the grill, everybody.
Yeah, don't make a poor grilling decision ruin your 4th of July. Come on. Let's get it all right. All right. Thank you, Davis. Now, coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with Jim Mintert. The latest on the Ag Economy Barometer next.
There's no shortage of, quote, dairy alternatives. But real dairy products still reign supreme with 21 times the sales of plant-based alternatives. More than 96% of U.S. households bought real dairy in 2023. And we moved a record 233.4 billion milk equivalent pounds. Your Dairy Checkoff helps to earn and maintain this sort of trust and drive demand for real dairy products. And that's making every drop count. Learn more at usdairy.com.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
The startup of another day. Caring for the land to make sure it's passed down for generations. Regenerative ag practices help build healthy soil, reduce erosion, and hold moisture. Now ADM will reward you for implementing cover crops and other conservation practices with incentives that could pay over $35 an acre. ADM appreciates all you do to protect your land and legacy, and we believe you should be rewarded for it. Visit ADMregenerations.com to learn more.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home. They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Davis, the results of the June survey of the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer were released this morning. It came with a reading of 105, which is 3 points down from May. Joining us right now to discuss the barometer and what it is telling us, we've got Professor James Mintert. He is the director for the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue University, and he's the author of the Purdue University CME Ag Economy Barometer. Jim, welcome back to AgriTalk. How are you?
Very good. Great to be back with you, Chip.
Yep, glad you're here. Glad you're here. Down 3 points from the previous month. What's it telling you?
So that's a pretty small move in the barometer. Yep. So the overall move, not very significant. But if you look at the index of current conditions and the index of future expectations, you can start to get a little more of a clear picture. The index of current conditions actually didn't do anything. It rose 1 point compared to last month, but it's well below this time last year. It's down 26 points on a year-to-year basis. Yeah. The future expectation index declined 5 points. So that's the reason the barometer drifted a little bit lower. It was that small decline in the future expectation index. But maybe the bigger picture is, if you look at it on a chart, you can kind of start to see what's going on here. Over the course of the last year, the current condition index, which you effectively ask people to appraise, you know, what's taking place on their farm now and how do they feel about it, has been drifting lower for really over a year, but especially the last year. And that index is now sitting at a reading of 90. Future expectation index is at 112. So people are more optimistic about the future, and that's been true over the course of the last year, than they are about the current situation. And that 90 is kind of interesting because remember that the barometer is based on, as a base period, our first 6 months of data collection, which was late 2015, early 2016. So at a reading of 90, that tells us people are feeling worse about their current situation than they were in late 15, 2016. And again, I think we talked about this last month, Chip. We all remember 15 and 16, that was the beginning or early days of a downturn, especially in crop agriculture. That kind of tells you there's some concern out there. People are worried about what's taking place, and you know, they've got hope for the future. That's what the future expectation index is telling us. But they're concerned. They recognize that 2024 is going to be a significantly worse year than, say, 23, 22, or 21.
Right. Yeah, the index of current conditions, Jim, has it been a year that it's been mostly in a sideways pattern?
The current condition index has actually been drifting lower for probably a year and a half.
Right.
The future expectation index has been kind of sideways probably for about 2 years, really. You go back to 2022, It's bounced around from a reading of about 100 on the low side to a reading of about 125 on the high side. So it's been in that band. So in a way, that's part of agriculture, isn't it? We're always a little more optimistic about the future, right? we always have that optimism that things will be better in the future. So I think we're picking that up. But when they look at the current situation, they think, oh, this isn't as good as what we had last year or the year before or the year before that.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Let's get into some more of the details here. The financial performance index, it's down another 3 points, and I think the important thing is it keeps moving further and further below 100. It's down to 85. This is where the optimism starts to kind of leave the survey, doesn't it?
Well, the interesting thing about the Farm Financial Performance Index is I think we're starting to pick up a little bit of seasonality in that index. If you look at the chart, so you mentioned the reading this month was 85. That's actually up slightly compared to last month and up again since April. We've seen that same pattern before. If you go back to 21, the index bottomed out in May. If you go back to 22, it bottomed out in May and got better. 23, same story. And we're showing that again right now. So the interesting thing about the index is I think people have some nervousness, some consternation about what's going on with respect to the farm's financial situation at planting time. And I always think about it from a standpoint of when I was helping my dad, right? If you're sitting there looking out the kitchen window and it's wet, you can't get the crop in the ground, and you're worried about what kind of a year this is going to be, what's going to take place, it's tough to get very optimistic about how your financial performance is going to be relative to last year. As we progress into the growing season and things start to look a little more normal, people seem to be picking up. Now, I've only got 4 years of data on that one, Chip, so I can't really say it's a strong seasonal pattern, but it sure looks like it. But your point, again, is if you look at it relative to where we were this time last year, we're a little bit below. My guess is we're going to remain below that going forward.
Right, right. Okay. Still not a good time, according to the survey, to make much of an investment in the business with some capital expenditures, is it?
No, and that index is really hovering near its all-time low. I think this month's reading was 32. You know, that's 3 points lower than last month. It's, I think, 10 points below a year ago. The all-time low of that index is 31. And, you know, that's consistent with what we're picking up elsewhere. When we followed up and said, if you think it's a bad time for making investments, why do you feel that way? You know, people in recent months have been pointing to rising interest rates. And I think elsewhere in the survey, we're picking up the idea that interest rates are starting to have more impact on farm operations. And I think part of that could be attributable to working capital getting a little tighter and people maybe having a stronger demand for borrowing money for example, operating expenses, clearly for machinery. That's really showing up as more of a concern than what we were picking up earlier.
Okay. All right.
Say, I've got a question here.
Yeah, jump in.
Yeah, Professor, I'm not sure. I was just looking through one more time. I'm not sure that I see high inputs costs referenced one time in this report here. And I understand. Okay, we're out of the, you know, the heavy purchase period here for most inputs for planting. I could see this just being seasonal, but people have forgotten about high cost of inputs already, sir?
No, they haven't. In fact, when we asked about what are your biggest concerns for your farming operation in the year ahead, the number one choice continues to be high input cost. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was chosen by a third of the people in the survey. And that's been fairly consistent. It bounces around a little bit from month to month, but that's been fairly consistent. Number two is lower crop and livestock prices. And then number three is rising interest rates. And as I mentioned a minute ago, if you look at the chart, that rising interest rates is interesting. For the last, 5 months, I think now, that's been going up each month. Back in the middle of the winter, I think maybe in February, only 18% of the people chose interest rates as one of their big concerns. It's been going up every single month in between. This month, it was 23%. And again, I think it gets at this idea that the impact of rising interest rates is really starting to hit home here in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Before we run out of time, did you ask the question again about if there has been any conversation about carbon capture and storage for these guys?
Yeah, we did. So
okay.
A little bit of a contrast. 8% of the people in the survey said they've been approached or had a discussion about carbon capture, utilization, and storage with an ethanol plant or with somebody representing an ethanol plant. To put that in perspective, about twice as many people say they've had a conversation about solar energy, roughly 16% of the people in the survey. And then we did the follow-up, and it's hard to get, you know, not a lot of observations here, but we said, well, if you had that discussion, what was the payment rate per acre you were offered? 93% said they were offered less than $25 an acre, which is pretty small. 4% said 50 to 75, 4% said 75 or more. And I've talked to some folks that have definitely have been received offers significantly more than 75. So, but the bulk of the offer is pretty low. This is early days with respect to what that market is going to do.
And it explains some of the slow uptake on it. No question about that. Land prices. What are the expectations on land prices?
So the land prices are really kind of interesting this month. There was no change in the short-term value expectation index, 115. It is down compared to last year, 126, so down 11 points. But if you look at the raw responses to the question, the question says, do you think farmland prices are going higher in your area, lower, or no change? I think we're picking up more uncertainty because more people said they're going higher than last month, but more people also said lower than last month, which means fewer people said stay the same. And I think that's a proxy or a substitute for saying you know, uncertainty, right? There's more uncertainty about what land prices are going to do. The other interesting thing with respect to land prices, Chip, is when we do the follow-up for people who say that over the next 5 years they think farmland values are going up, you know, we ask why. We're consistently getting in the ballpark of 10% of the people pointing to energy production, namely solar or wind, as a reason why they're optimistic about farmland values.
Gotcha. Jim, it's always interesting. Thank you so much for taking time to talk about the details. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the opportunity, and happy 4th of July to you and all your listeners.
Thank you so much. Jim Mintert, Purdue University. Ethan Lane, next.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. August milk down 28 to 1979, September down 10 to 2024, October down 11 to 2010, November down 22 at 1976. Live and feeder cattle markets continue to move mostly higher. The market's finding technical support at the 40-day moving average, and encouraged by the cattle market's strong fundamentals. Don't expect cash flow really to develop, if anything, this week due to the holiday shortened week, but it could develop by Friday. Hog markets moving mostly mixed today, higher in the nearby months as some of the pork cutout values are slightly higher today. August live cattle up 80 cents to 185.07. August feeder cattle up 357 to 290.65. July hogs up 30 cents to 89.50. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets are mixed today as there's a combination of higher ethanol margins, but also some positive weather, at least in some parts of the Corn Belt, that's pressuring markets. Soybeans mostly higher due to strength in soybean meal and soybean oil. Wheat markets moving mostly lower short, or we have the harvest pressure happening, also strength in the dollar, weakness in European wheat pressuring prices. New crop corn up a half now to 421. New crop beans up 1 1/4 to 11.12 1/4. July wheat down 7 1/4 to 562. Minneapolis wheat September down 3 3/4 to 628.5.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit OsseoPlastics.com for more information.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday morning. It's a short week, though, Davis. Short week.
It sure is. It's already been a short week. I mean, we're like a day and a half in.
Yeah.
How hard can this be?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, markets will be closed on Thursday. We'll still, of course, have some great shows for you coming up on Thursday. Then we'll be back with you live on Friday for free-for-all. Looking forward to that because of some of the things that were decided by the Supreme Court at the end of the session. And I want to talk about some of those things right now with Ethan Lane, VP of Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Ethan, it's great to talk with you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now I'm excited for Best of Chip Flory on Thursday. I got to mark my calendar.
We've got some fresh content coming your way. No best ofs. Nope.
Oh,
nope,
okay. Nope. Nice. Nice.
Yeah. Right. Yep. So, Ethan, before we get to the Supreme Court rulings that came out at the end of the last session, I want to talk about USDA's new proposal for the final rule on packers and stockyards. Yeah. Start with what it says. What is the final rule?
Well, so this is a proposed rule. It's the latest in a series of rulemakings that makes up the kind of Bidenomics competition push, right? This is the Biden administration and clearly Secretary Vilsack's long-standing passion project is fairness in the marketplace. And in a 95-page rule, what you won't find in there referenced anywhere is the term free market. And I think that really speaks to why cattle producers have concerns about this. You know, much has been made of this idea of competition and fairness, and it obviously is really important that we have a functioning marketplace that has access and opportunity for everybody. But what this rule tries to do is create a standard by which if you don't get paid on your cattle the same as your neighbor, and it says in the rule, the secretary in that transaction can look at quality. They can look at price. You can look at innovation, all of the things that our producers do to make more money on their cattle, right? Investing in their operations. Those things are all now fair game for the neighbor who maybe has sour grapes next door to say, hey, I wasn't treated fairly in the marketplace. And under the current rule, you have to prove harm to the overall competition environment, right? This rule would open the door for individual harm, meaning I didn't get paid what Joe got paid. So I am now going to seek some sort of recourse to balance that scale. And the net result will be premiums will go away. You know, the buyers of these fed cattle are no longer going to want to take that risk. And what suffers is our ability to innovate and make progress and have higher and higher quality cattle and higher quality beef. It's moving in the wrong direction if true competition is what you're looking for.
So what might these challenges look like, Ethan? I'm just having a hard time that understanding that Joe could raise an issue because he got paid $5 a hundred less on fat cattle at a sale barn. Is that what we're looking at?
No, we're talking probably more in the formula and AMA space than we are in a sale barn transaction. But you know, you hit the nail on the head there as far as where the challenge is, right? Because if you read through the proposed rule, the language is incredibly vague. The Trump administration worked on this concept during their 4 years over at USDA, and they put out four criteria of, you know, what does it look like for there to be a harm in this environment, right? You know, what are the factors that have to be there for this to be true harm? And then what they put on top of it is anything else we may consider that could be relative. Well, this is like that on speed, right? This is a massively broad landscape where it says not only are there those things that are sort of tried and true antitrust violations, which are already against the law in a lot of different areas, right? So this is sort of retreading that ground. But then it goes beyond that and says if it looks or feels like it might not be within the spirit of that, well, the secretary can look at that as well. And it really opens this landscape to the point where it really is subject to where the political winds are blowing. And you can't build a business environment based on, you know, popular opinion on Facebook. And that's really what this is sort of set up to do, which is doubly scary when you think about how Secretary Vilsack and his team are talking about this, which is in the context of consumer prices, right? It's like we're doing this because of cattle prices, but the net result is we're going to lower your grocery store prices. It's a disingenuous way to approach this.
Right. Okay. I get exactly what you're saying, Ethan. But there are some in the industry that really like this proposed final rule on packers and stockyards, aren't there? There are.
And you know, we're always going to have that disagreement. I think they are in the minority, but they are extremely vocal. And they have the right to their opinion. I think the question we as an industry have to ask ourselves is, what do we mean when we say competition? Do we feel like it's important for us to continue innovating? Do we feel like we are owed a profit on our cattle just because we showed up today? And I think that's the question we really have to decide. You know, the cattle industry, I would contend, is the last truly independent supply chain in agriculture.
Yeah.
And I'm incredibly proud of that. I'm incredibly proud to work for that. But that comes with risk. That comes with opportunities if you're willing to work and invest and grab them. And so there have to be winners and losers in some of those transactions. And I think some of those folks that are on the other side of this, I think they're very well-intentioned. But the idea is, you know, no one ever went broke telling people who to blame for their problems. So if you can tell people, look, if you were just getting paid what your neighbor's getting paid, none of this would be a problem. Well, I didn't invest in genetics. I didn't process my cattle. I didn't vaccinate. I didn't do the things I need to do. So did I earn that same premium that the producer next door did? And I hate to put it that way, but I think we have to think in terms of what we really mean when we say competition, because, you know, this is a free market economy. You got to go out and earn premiums. And there are a lot of producers out there doing that. We can't disadvantage them, you know, in order to make sure that those who didn't put that work in get paid the same.
Yeah. Well, and the quality issue is so important right now, Ethan, because, I mean, there is a premium for quality cattle being paid. When you're looking at 1550, 1600 pound heifers that are bringing over $200 a hundred, at sale barns for, you know, local distribution of that prime beef, quality matters in this marketplace.
It absolutely does, and it's a tough environment because there's so much good quality stuff. We're raising better beef in this country than anyone has ever seen ever in the history of livestock production. Yep. I was talking to a nutritionist for a sports franchise who's worried that their players aren't happy about the beef they're getting, and they said, where do we source better beef? And I said, I promise you, it's not the beef you're sourcing. Wherever you're getting it, you're getting high-quality beef if it's U.S. product, right? Because we know that in the supply chain. So it really does make everybody have to up their game. I mean, this is a competitive environment.
Okay. All right. What is your take on the Supreme Court doing away with Chevron deference?
I cannot overstate what a big deal this is. My entire time in Washington, and the entire time of people who have been here a lot longer than me, this has been such a pivotal case because it really defines that landscape for agencies to go forward and push out a regulation that is well beyond what Congress intended. Congress puts out a regulation and says, you know, we should protect endangered species. And then the agencies go forth and put out a regulation that is extremely specific and well beyond congressional intent. Under the landscape we've been operating under, if we sue to challenge that regulation, the lower courts look at the deference given to the federal agency to interpret what Congress meant. Doing away with that standard means if Congress didn't spell it out, the agency can't just make it up on their own. 98 times out of 100, that is a massive improvement for anybody who is in the regulated community or is doing business with the federal government or the federal government has oversight of, because we're always on the losing side of that transaction. So this is massive. There's going to be a lot of challenges now, and people are going to start looking at where this might have some impact on regulations that are problematic, not just in the cattle industry, but throughout the economy. This is huge.
Yeah. You want to talk about it? We've always paid attention to lawmakers and lawmakers' opinions. What we're going to have to do is get to know their staff a whole lot better so that they do a more specific job of rulemaking in the legislation that they put forward. Isn't that right?
Yes. That is 100% the ball game here is, and I had a member of Congress tell me this the other day. We were talking about this very subject. They're going to have to sharpen their pencils, and they're going to have to really be specific in the pieces of legislation that pass Congress and go to the president's desk, because it really is going to be the standard by which federal rules are implemented. And the thing is, for those of us that kind of are on that small government conservative end of the spectrum that don't feel like we need a whole lot more federal regulations, it's not a bad thing that it's a harder bar, right, to get a new piece of legislation or regulation passed. They should have to work hard. It should have to be extremely, you know, precise. And so that's going to force this in what is already a difficult environment on Capitol Hill. But that's a good thing in our opinion. That's the way the process ought to work.
Dude, all I think about is how the WOTUS process would have been different.
Oh, yeah. And well, you can think about it, right? WOTUS, or like I said, any of these endangered species issues or any of the rules that USDA puts out, you know, where it's one part sort of congressional direction and nine parts finger in the wind, right? And so all of that goes away. And you have this landscape where, well, did they write it? Well, no, then you can't do it. It actually brings it in sync with our policy book for NCBA, right? If it's not passed by our members around the country, I can't engage in it. It makes Congress and the administration play by the same rules, and I love that.
Very interesting. I mean, it's going to change your job, right?
Well, it is. I mean, and we've already been having those conversations. You said it. I mean, you said it better than anybody I've heard describe it in the last week. And that is, you know, we're going to have to get to know staff a whole lot better, because there is going to be a heavy load on their shoulders to get the language right. Someone earlier today asked me, you know, what does this mean? I said, well, it means we better get really familiar with the moderates on both sides, because boy, they're going to have a big job ahead of them.
Right. Right. Ethan, thank you so much for your perspective. Really helps. Thank you.
You bet. You bet. Great talking to you. Happy 4th.
Yeah, happy 4th to you. Throw a steak on the grill, will you?
Done.
All right. That's Ethan Lane, VP Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Davis and I will be right back.
Farm First Dairy Cooperative wants to recognize our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, train young farm leaders, and is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to members. Thank you, dairy farm families, for all of your hard work. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how Farm First puts farm families first.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry in harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Alcivia Co-op.
Farmers, is your stress starting to affect your work or your relationships? Feeling stress about finances or weather is common in farming. You're not alone. It can happen to any of us. From vouchers for in-person counseling to telecounseling from the comfort of your home, the Wisconsin Farm Center is here to help. If you're feeling overwhelmed, take that first step. Call toll-free 888-901-2558. That's 888-901-2558. A message from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Joining Dr. Matt Ritter, Senior VP, Research and Development at United Animal Health. Dr. Matt, it's good to see you.
Good morning.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing great. Weather's great.
How does the changing levels of technology affect what you're doing in research and development?
Yeah, this is a space I personally been following closely for the last 10 years. And as we go up and down these aisles, we've seen huge advancements in swine digital technologies. And we as United believe now is the time for us to dedicate a barn to the barn of the future concept, where we start to stack some of these technologies in the barn and see, can we really start to more efficiently and effectively manage pigs and collect more data for our research trials?
Man, this is really intriguing to me. What do you hope to accomplish?
Yeah, we're going to start out with four simple questions.
Okay.
Can we use these technologies to predict the onset of disease? Can we start to implement precision feeding to different subpopulations of pigs? Can we manage variation and more successfully market our pigs? And can we reduce labor needs in our barns?
Fantastic. Okay. So, of course, you've got to evaluate the efforts that you're putting out there. How are you doing that?
Well, I think first and foremost, these technologies are going to have to align to our business objectives. They've got to be proven for accuracy and reliability. A piece that I personally probably have misunderstood is just the importance of the compatibility with other technologies and data systems we're currently using. And then ultimately, these are going to have a compelling business case and return on investment for the producer.
Nice. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's
have
Dr.
a great day.
Matt Ritter, Senior VP, Research and Development at United Animal Health.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here. Chip Flory joins. No sign of the spider, Chip.
Oh.
Very small.
It's there. It's there someplace.
He's there somewhere, lurking.
That's right. He's watching
me.
You with all eight little eyes.
I know. Eight little cameras in that sucker. How do they get it so small?
I don't know.
And it's powered by coal, too.
The surveillance spider is real.
Yeah, there's a little smear of pollution across my... my computer screen here, it looks petroleum-based.
A little exhaust.
Mm-hmm. Something. Yeah. Something. Spiders with chemtrails. Well, that'll be the next thing. Huh? Imagine a web made out of chemtrails? A society can't withstand that sort of pressure. No.
No.
That's just not going to work. Not going to work. I'm very interested. I'm very interested, actually. In the conversation with Ethan Lane, well, I want to talk about the conversation with Dr. Jim Mintert as well.
Okay.
But I want to start where Ethan Lane ended, and I love the sound of this, the idea of it anyway. And he said, in reference to the Chevron ruling, we better get familiar with the moderates.
Yeah.
Like that. Chevron can kind of pull us toward the middle just a little bit, take some power away from these agencies, I don't know, bro. I kind of like it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Short term, I think this is going to create some chaos in the court system. And that's not a bad thing. Let's get some of these. Some of the out of control overreach reined in.
Yep.
And I think that's the kind of chaos that we're talking about. Because if a rule and a regulation is acceptable, is providing an environment in which businesses and individuals can thrive, then that's not going to be challenged. It's the rules and regulations, and they're on both sides. That are stifling business, that are stifling individuals' freedoms that should be, and I think will be, challenged. Now, so for the quote unquote short term, that being the next few years, this is it will be a chaotic situation. Longer term, I think this is will encourage, will, dare I say, force lawmakers to do their job better.
Yeah.
I mean.
See, and that's my concern. To me, the good side is some of these agencies have a little less power to add specifics to interpret Congress, the will of Congress. Congress has to put in more specifics into legislations that come forth. Okay, great. Dude, this is the least productive Congress I don't know if we've ever seen, but darn close. I don't know, dude. It also, on the other hand, sounds like a recipe for things like we're seeing with the farm bill. Just stuff just drags on and on and on and on and never gets done.
Well, if it is written more specifically, and it is written where agreement can be found between the two parties, then it should find ways to gain passage through Congress. But they're going to have to be very specific. You can't leave it up for interpretation any longer. That's what this means. It is a landmark decision. This is a this is a decision. We've had to live with Chevron deference for 40 years with agencies, you know, interpreting what Congress really intended.
Congressional
intent is a phrase that I've used a million times, and it should not be necessary.
Yes. And what you're doing is you're making those agencies the actual de facto lawmakers when it comes to the specifics.
Right.
And that is upside down.
And the agencies work with appointed bureaucrats. And some of them are really good. Some of them are not. And it should not be left up to an appointed a bureaucrat to decide WOTUS and the final rules. It should be Congress that does that. That's, I don't know, it's a little document called the Constitution that states that very clearly.
Are we still doing that? Constitution? Is that still a thing?
I think it is. I hope it is, dude.
New rule opens the door for individual harm via Packards and Stockyards Act. I like that idea. But Ethan Lane says, moving in the wrong direction of true competition. I don't get it.
Yeah, it... Basically what it is saying, basically what Ethan is saying is that in any open market, there's got to be winners and losers.
Okay.
You've got to have the opportunity to win, but you also have to have the risk to lose. If you've got the risk to lose, it means that you are open to chasing the premiums that a market might offer for quality and for providing any kind of a benefit that comes along with what you are producing and getting paid for it.
Yeah.
Okay, now could that be low-carbon corn? It could be. But if someone that is not producing low-carbon corn could look at a premium that was paid to one producer and say, listen, just because I didn't do anything to lower the carbon in my corn doesn't mean that I shouldn't get the premium paid for that corn. That's the kind of thing that we're talking about. Thank you for listening this morning. We really appreciate it. Come back this afternoon, 2:06 Central. We've got a conversation with Chip Nellinger.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only